Good morning. We welcome you all to worship here at Zion this morning. I'd like to give a special welcome to those of you who are visitors, guests with us today. We're happy that you're here. And also want to give a special welcome to the boys and girls that are here today. Boys and girls, this sermon today is going to talk about children and childhood. But I think it's for all of us. It's not just for children. We're all children. In fact, someone has said, like Jesus said, becoming a little child is what it takes to become a child of God. We're going to hear about that today. If you have an announcement, would you come forward, please? Share with us.
I wanted to talk about Second Sunday. It's the program that we do, as it's named, on the second Sunday of each month. And I'm the person that makes sure that there's always food here. I don't know if I'd go so far to call it a meal. Sometimes it's popcorn and apples. But Anna Park is the person that's giving leadership to that time with the kids where they sing and learn a lesson and do some crafts. And we've always had two people partner together for that. And we still have not found someone to work with Anna. And it would be really nice if Anna had somebody to partner with. You don't have to have a child that's in that age range to be a part of that. I'm not sure if she's here this morning. She was working last week, so she wasn't here. But if you have questions about it, you can ask me, and I can give you my limited knowledge, or you can check in with Anna Park, and she can tell you because she was part of the team last year that worked on it. So, thank you.
Well, you know, even if you don't have kids in that age group, you might have grandkids in that age group. And you could help also. But I'm here to talk about your coins count, my coins count, all of our coins count. And a couple people have already told me, oh, I forgot to bring my coins. So if you want to be on the call list, not the do not call list, but the call list. A couple people said, well, if I just had a call Sunday morning to remind me. So please let me know if you need that call on Sunday morning to remind you to bring your coins, because our children are going to pick them up. We are now at just a little over $1,000. And this year, it's MCC's using the money to help refugees. So I have not seen anybody step up and say, I want to match $1,000. And we're at $1,000, so we'll take your money. The years past, we've raised between $3,000 and $4,000. So we got a little ways to go to hit $3,000. But if you bring a lot of coins next Sunday, we might get close. Thank you.
Matthew told me a great story this morning. There was a pastor, and a little boy in the congregation came up to him and handed him a dime. He said, well, thank you. What's this about? And he said, my dad says you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard. That isn't why I came up here, though, to tell you that. Last week, we did our 125th celebration, and as a part of that, we had produced this book of stories, and many of you picked up that book. 60 of them were purchased last Sunday. There are plenty more available if you don't have one and you want one, or you want to buy one for somebody else. I think if you contact Pat, she can fix you up. Several people asked me, who wrote that story called Sandy's Stone in the book? Some of you recognize that name. And I automatically said, well, Chris Yoder, because it's about Sandy Yoder. Well, it was not Chris. And I searched my mind and did some sleuthing and learned it's actually John Paul Lederach. So for those of you who were curious or those of you who have books, you might just make a note in the book that that's who wrote that story. I think all the others have the author listed. Thank you.
Well, Ken, do I have to confess now how many dimes I have at home? Well, getting back to the theme of children and childhood, you know, children are such a delight, and grandchildren are special, special delight. Children are both teachable, and they teach us. I have a sister who has a granddaughter named Alicia, and when Alicia was just a little gal, she overheard some adults talking about how God speaks to them at home. And she pondered that, and she said, Jesus doesn't speak to us at our house. We must be too noisy. Think about it. Maybe that's true. Then there was a Sunday school teacher who invited her little kids to share what their favorite New Testament story is. And the little boy raised his hand and said, well, this is time when Jesus went to the wedding and changed water into wine. And so she said, well, what did we learn from that story? And so he thought a bit, and then he said, it's a good idea when we have a wedding to invite Jesus to be there. Good idea. I experienced Jesus here at Chewy and Callan's wedding a couple weeks ago. That was a special time. And probably again yesterday at the Yoder's wedding, I think Jesus was there. It's wonderful that he is here with us. He's here today. Let's enter into worship together as we sing.
In your blue hymnal, number 115. And if you're able, please stand. 115.
Led by thy gracious hand, care.
Turn back now to number 36. This is a leftover from last Sunday because this was the hymn I was going to sing as the third song from a hymnal. This is found in Life Songs number 2. And if you have an interest in it, if you look at that arrangement, it's very different from this arrangement, but it sounds the same. Interesting. Many of you noticed that both of those songs were written by the same person and the music is the same person. Did you notice that? Okay, number 26.
Inflame
I'm going to have you come right back. Well, we worshiped in those songs before we had the call to worship. I apologize for that. So would you now join me as we look at the call to worship, the words of Jesus from Mark 10. And again, boys and girls, as well as all of the adults, all of us children, let's say this together, it's Jesus inviting us. We're not inviting Jesus to come worship. We're being invited to Him, by Him to come. So let's say it together. When Jesus saw this, He was in. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." Thanks for Clyde. He keeps me on track. Offering time, we'll invite the ushers to come forward. Let's pray together. More ushers are on their way here. We'll wait a second. Now we give thanks. Loving God, You have blessed us abundantly, far beyond our deserving. And so we take these few moments to give back to You what You have given to us. And we pray Your blessing on these gifts. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We are blessed this morning to have with us Joe and Connie Radai from Wilsonville to share with us about the ministry of the Gideons International. We welcome them and want to hear from you now, Joe.
At the age of 16, a young girl became pregnant. After several abortion attempts, she eventually gave birth. Born prematurely with birth deformities, the baby was not wanted, and he almost died of pneumonia. That unwanted baby was named Ron Archer. When he began school, he was diagnosed with learning disabilities. He was also a very severe stutterer. Tormented at school and at home, where he often saw his mother beaten by her boyfriends, and he was also beaten by them, he had given up hope at the age of 10. He put a gun to his head, he pulled the trigger, and nothing happened. Fortunately for Ron, there was a safety feature in that pistol, and it didn't fire. Ron's life changed when his fourth grade teacher gave him a Bible. As part of his speech therapy, he had to read from that Bible into a tape recorder. The Bible was a Gideon's Hotel Bible. Ron says, "I began to understand from reading my Gideon's Bible that life may be a mess, but with God's help, that life can become a message. I became a scholar, student body president, and a young pastor. With that same Gideon Bible, I preached messages that reached my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, and other relatives, and led them to Christ through my church. Today, with that same Gideon Bible, the Lord has helped Ron plant churches, preach revivals, author 5 books, host TV programs, advise world leaders, lead peacekeeping efforts in Africa and India. Hundreds of thousands of people have heard God's message from that single Gideon's Bible. I want to know him. That's what Arturo Laredo said after reading his New Testament provided by the Gideons. And this is his story. My cousin approached me with a special job offer that I couldn't refuse. He offered me $3,000 to hide 2 tons of marijuana to be smuggled into the United States, which he accomplished. Later, just before Christmas, his cousin came to him again, insisting that he help out. Because he needed the money, he did. And as he crossed the border, this time, federal agents were waiting for him. Arturo was arrested and sent to prison for 5 years. One day, some men called Gideons arrived at the prison. They gave Arturo a little blue book, just like this one. It's in Espanol, Spanish. This New Testament was read by Arturo, and after reading Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4, he said to himself, "I want to know him." He began to seek God and eventually came to Christ and began serving him. After he finished his sentence in prison, he started his own business. Now, where he used to store 2 tons of marijuana, he stores Gideon Bibles because he is now part of the Gideon's International Organization. Folks, stories like these and countless others have been made possible by your donations and prayers. We have, since our inception, distributed over 2 billion Bibles. In fact, if you put your hand on your heart, every time it beats, a Gideon somewhere around the world is handing out a Bible. And that wouldn't be possible without your support. Zion has been a very strong supporter of the Gideons, and we really appreciate your help because we can't do what we do without your help. And I would share with you that every dollar that is donated to our organization goes for the Bibles and their distribution. There's no administrative overhead. I would also share with you that we have a backlog of 1.6 million Bibles that we can't fill because of lack of funds. And the demand isn't just internationally, it's local as well. I'd just like to share with you what we do here in North Clackamas County, right here in your home area. Every year we average about 4,000 Gideon Testaments handed out to middle schoolers, high schoolers, and college students. We also, if you were at the Clackamas County Fair, have a booth there where we average about 1,500 Testaments handed out each year. At the State Fair, we passed out over 2,400 Bibles. We have done what we call scripture blitzes at Oregon State, where we distributed over 1,100 Bibles. Oregon University, about 1,000. Portland State University, 1,400 Bibles have been distributed. Once again, this is all due to your help and your prayers, and we thank you for that. And at the end of this service, I'll be at the back of the sanctuary to take your donations. And if a donation isn't possible, your prayers would be greatly appreciated as well. And Pastor Swara, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come before your congregation. And I say to you folks again, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. I'm sure God is using your ministry. And for those of us that would like to contribute, as you said, we can do that as we leave today. And now, boys and girls, it's your My Coins Count time. Come on up for that, and then Carol will have a story for you here. So bring your coins, and then stay up here for the children's story.
My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
The coins count.
My coins count.
The coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, is there are people that we see all around the world needing food or water or a chance to live in peace? We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
The coins count.
My coins count.
The coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
The coins count.
My coins count.
The coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're or small, when used with care, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. Together, there's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good, my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
Because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
I can't. Oh, there. Oh, one more cup of stuff coming. Well, welcome. Good morning, boys and girls. Today, Matthew's going to be talking, and if you've been listening to what Lynn was saying at the beginning, he's going to be talking about children and childhood. So I'm going to have a little conversation with you this morning about a couple of words. I'm going to talk about childish. You ever heard that word before? And the other word is childlike. But before I talk to you about those things, I've got something I want to pass out to you. And I am going to ask you to hold these. And at the end of our time together, there will be something else. But I'd like you to hold them. Sit quietly and listen. Oh, you're not a child, but I'd say that was kind of childish, wouldn't you? This is children's story time. Now, if he'd have sat up here like John did, maybe we'd have just said he was childlike. So do you think that was childish of him to go grab that bag? Do you know, childish is not a compliment when we talk about an adult being childish. But even as children, we can act kind of childish, like when we pout, when we fuss about something not being fair. So when I think about being childlike, what do you think about childlike? Are you listening? Well, when I think about being childlike, you are innocent. You're frank. That means not that frank. But you tell the truth. My mom used to call it, children are disgustingly honest. Meaning, you just say it like it is. Being a child, you also trust. You trust somebody's going to give you food. You're going to have a place to live. You trust people to tell you the truth. And they tell you what's good, and they tell you about things that might be of danger to you. And we trust that we're going to be loved and protected. There's a story in the Bible that tells us that people were taking their children to Jesus to bless them. And when the disciples saw it, the disciples told the people, "Don't bother Jesus with the little children." And Jesus, when he saw what was going on, became indignant. Do you know what that word means? Indignant means he became angry. And what he told them was this: "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And then it goes on to say that Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, I believe he was trying to tell the grown-ups something here, that they couldn't do anything that would earn them the kingdom, his kingdom. His kingdom was a gift. Just like a child doesn't have the ability to build a big temple. Although I think that's what you built with Frank last week with the blocks, wasn't it? Is that what you built, was a temple? Now, I'm talking about a big temple. Could you build this church? Mm-mm. But men did. So that might be possible. But for children, that's not. It's not even possible for grown-ups to make the ocean purple or to color the moon brown. And you know what? Money can't buy the kingdom either. What do you think it means? Did that tickle you? What do you think it means to earn something? Do you ever earn anything at home? What does it mean to earn it? Do you ever earn money? No. I know Bryn has. She mowed the lawn for me and I paid her, so she earned the money I paid her. Do you ever obey your parents and then you get rewarded with something? Like maybe doing something special? Yeah. But Jesus said you can't earn his kingdom. And I was thinking about how much Jesus loves us, and that's why he said, if we become his children, we can inherit the kingdom of God. And I know that you kids sing some songs in Sunday school about Jesus loving you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the little children. Now, I'm not done talking to you yet, but we're going to take a break here. How many of you still have your cookie? Is it whole or just part of it? Part of it. Did you eat part of yours? No. Oh, you've got a whole one? Do you have a whole one? Jack was honest and he ate part of his. And the rest of you? Let's see, John, did you eat part of yours? Oh, you didn't. You resisted the temptation, I can tell. You've got all of yours? Oh, one bite out of it? Or did you, is it all there? Wow. Now, some of you have been very attentive listeners. Some of you have been talking to each other. You've held pretty still. Do you remember what I said at the beginning about you can't work and you can't earn a place in God's kingdom? Do you remember I said that? What I want to know is how many of you think you've earned something else at the end of our story time? How many of you earned something else? Okay, I'm not done talking to you yet, though. And I've already lost two of them. Thank you. Did you earn it? Okay, you know what? When I said you can't earn the kingdom of God, now if I was really going to see if you earned, I saw Dane and Everett whispering to each other. Jack told me he took a bite. That was honest. But I determined before I even started the story that each of you would get a bag of something else. I already decided that. And do you know that is what Jesus and God had decided? That anybody is welcome to receive the kingdom of God. All you have to do is take it. You have to receive it. So that's pretty amazing that he loved us that much that he offered it. It's a gift. So before we go on, we're going to quit with a prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for these young children. And thank you that you loved us so much. And you have reminded us that if we become as a child, that we can inherit your kingdom. Thank you for that gift. And I pray your blessing on these children. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your places. Okay, they're asking me if they can eat these. Mom and Dad, grandparents, it's up to you.
In our blue hymnal number 621. Jesus, friend, so kind and gentle, little ones we bring to thee. Grant to them thy dearest blessing, let thine arms around them be. Now enfold them in thy goodness, from all danger keep them free. 621.
Jesus, friend, so kind and gentle, little ones we bring to thee. Grant to them thy dearest blessing, let thine arms around them be. Now enfold them in thy goodness, from all danger keep them free. Thou who didst receive the children to thyself so tenderly, give to all who teach and guide them and you faithfully.
Now, before Matt comes to bring us the message, let's look at the text for this morning, Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them.
This is the next installment in the preaching sermon series that I'm doing on faith formation, our growth in Christ, and that theme from Galatians 4:19, till Christ be formed in you. So let me first ask, are there any 10-year-olds in this setting this morning. Anyone here 10 years old? Oh, Bryn, okay. You're 10 years old. Do you mind if I ask you a question that you would answer with this mic? Is that okay? Okay, very good. Bryn, what are the things that really excite you, that enthuse you, that you get, you know, that you just really enjoy doing? Or is there some subject or something in nature that really floats your boat? You know what I mean? You want to tell us about anything that you're really excited and enchanted about?
Reading.
What's that?
Reading.
So you like reading. Is there a particular author? No, but okay, reading. You like reading. Great. Are there any other 10-year-olds here? Or anyone close enough? Okay. One of the reasons I asked that question, and it's interesting that, Joe, you mentioned about that, that 10-year-old boy whose life was changed, but who came so close to ending it. But if we grow up in a supportive home, then I've heard it said that who we are at 10 years of age and what excites and enthuses us and enchants us at 10 years of age stays with us. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'll try to do an unscientific poll in just a moment, but be thinking about that. And one of the reasons, if that's true, I think one of the reasons for that is because at around the age of 10, our capacity for logic, our thinking skills, our verbal skills have come to match the level of that childlike, and by the way, Carol, thanks for making that helpful distinction, the level of our childlike enchantment and joy and wonder and awe at a world still new to us are just about equal. And that makes it a sweet stage in life when the logic and thinking skills are there, but also still the wonder and enchantment and that glow of enchantment in the world from our childhood. I think many of us can attest that after that age, then what starts to happen is we start to understand more the complexity in the world and also the complexity in ourselves as we grow, the complexity that we find out about in our own bodies with puberty. And so we might go from seeing the world in our childhood and being enchanted by it to successively seeing through the world and being disenchanted by some of the disappointments or betrayals or complexity that we have experienced. But some would say that still, hopefully, a piece of our 10-year-old self remains. So let me ask, is there anyone here who has ever been 10 years old? Okay. Think about if there was anything in your life that enchanted you at that time, and is it still with you? Is there something of your 10-year-old self and that childlike sense of wonder that's still with you? Anyone? Kathy?
Horses.
Horses for you. Okay. So even at age 10?
Yeah.
When
I was younger, I had horses, and we played with them all the time. All day, all, you know, until dusk. And I still, to this day, would love to have a horse.
Okay, so for you, it was horses. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Lauren.
Bryn wants me to raise my hand. Yes, before I was 10, cars were a fascination. And if anybody knows me, you know what I'm doing yet.
Okay, very good. Ken.
Like Bryn, I really like to read, and I still do a lot of that. I also love girls and women, and I'm a married man. And I learned something really important at about that time. I took things apart a lot. I wanted to know how they worked and what was inside them. And my Grandpa King said to me one day, Kenny, always taking things apart. will you ever learn to put them together? And it changed my life. It did.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, fishing. I hear fishing. You know, that I can attest to that, too. Yes.
I was thrilled because in the fourth grade, we got to be in Corallers. And that was like, can you believe it, that would stick with me. I mean, it was so exciting to be with older people that could really sing and to hear all these beautiful parts surrounding me. Still is.
So music and singing, was that for you? Yes.
Jenny. Yes, I have a similar experience as Lois with Corallers, but it launched me into also wanting to do drama and things like that. And so I pursued it. I went away from it for a while, but then I rediscovered it some years ago.
Okay, I can identify with what Kathy said about horses. I went through a stage where at age 10, suddenly, I was really interested in horses, and I read all these books about them, and picture books, and I draw lots and lots of pictures of them. But I knew that horses were not going to be a part of my life then because, well, we lived in the city, for crying out loud, so I didn't expect to ride horses, and I didn't even bother my folks about getting us a horse. That just wasn't realistic. So, no, I don't need therapy for that lack in my young childhood life. And also my first experiences with horses were not all that great, you know, going in as a teenager or in Boy Scouts to get on one of those Acme rental horse, you know, things with long lines of rental horses taking you down a trail at a camp. And whenever I would get on a horse, I could tell that horse was thinking, oh, this one is easy. I'm going back to the barn for some hay and some grain. And if he wants to stay on my back for the ride, it's no skin off my back. But then a few years ago, after we were here, Becky, who grew up with horses, started going to a barn to ride a horse. And I came along with her, and I started helping to groom the horse and clean the horse's hooves and to feed the horse. And I was 10 years old again. And so for those of you who have just spoken about that love that stayed with you, when you engage in those things, is it like you are 10 years old again? So maybe there is something to that about that 10-year-old or younger always being with us. And that 10-year-old sense of innocence and wonder and delight, is that a piece of what Jesus means when he says that you must receive the kingdom of God as a little child, coming with that sense of the childhood wonder and openness to surprise and growth? I think so. I'll turn that off for a moment. I think so, but there's just a few more thoughts about that. I know, personally speaking, if I were not a Christian, then at my age of nearly 62, I would probably be just a tired old cynic. I'm still sometimes tired and feeling old, but the charm would be gone from the world, and simply in its place would be this enchantment. But growing up in Christ, till Christ be formed in you, actually gives us a chance to grow up, both in that mature adult wisdom and character, as well as growing towards our childlike innocence, wonder, and joy. But I think there's something else that Jesus makes clear in these words about what it means to receive the kingdom of heaven like a child. And it's all around that simple word, receive, to receive, unless you receive the kingdom like a little child. And that is in contrast to another word that is not mentioned in the passage, but is strongly implied. And that is the word achieve. Now, why would the disciples even try to hinder the children from coming to Jesus and getting a blessing unless they believe that a blessing from Jesus is something that we achieve rather than receive? That maybe we achieve it by
growing up in our comprehension and conduct and character. Maybe if you've gone through all of Sabbath school like they did and the bar mitzvah like they did and hang out with Jesus and know the lingo, then you've achieved it. And the disciples have taken on themselves, entitled themselves to be the ones who decide when you have achieved it. Jesus, yes, and the gospel come into the world with an invitation for us to grow up. But Jesus is not just for grown-ups. The gospel empowers and invites all of us to grow up in Christ till Christ be formed in us in every single stage of our lives. But if we think of ourselves as already grown up in that respect, we'll miss the invitation. We won't even know we need it. You know, and growing up in Christ is not only about learning stuff. It's really about, often about unlearning stuff and relearning. It means so often unlearning what we think is mature and adult about us, especially that kind of self-entitlement, self-reliance, and self-justification that the disciples were showing based on what we think are our own achievements. But, you know, 10-year-olds, as Carol mentioned, don't have that luxury of having that illusion of self-reliance or self-entitlement or self-justification, not at their age. Well, you know, they might try for some self-justification, like, you ever heard this one? But, Mom, he hit me first. That sounds like an effort at adult self-justification, but it's very childish. But otherwise, as Carol mentioned, up to 10 years of age, we've spent our lives mostly receiving and depending upon parents and other caretakers for nearly everything, like a roof over our heads or a hug to hold you, a shoulder to lean on, an adult to carry you up to bed when you've fallen asleep, for food on your table, for loving, reliable, caring, consistent discipline and structure and guidance, hopefully. 10 years of introducing you to the complexities of life slowly as someone sees that you're ready for this, but also protecting you from what you're not ready to take on yet because of your age and stage. And hopefully then, as children and the children among us, find the adults trustworthy, worthy of our trust. And that's when we learn that most important lesson in our lives that we'll need every stage of our lives, and that is how to trust, what to trust, who to trust. And I think that's what Jesus has most in mind when he says, you must receive the kingdom of heaven like children. Again, it's about receiving rather than achieving. And that requires trust in our Heavenly Father to carry us through every stage of life, whatever our age. And that's not then just a lesson for 10-year-olds. All throughout the hard knocks of life, we'll need to come back to that lesson, to receive what God wants to give us, how God wants to teach us. And it's the same with keeping that childlike sense of wonder and enchantment and delight. For example, when we go first into the work world with our degrees, trying to find our place in life, that requires, yes, trust in God, but also openness to surprise and to enchantment. And should God call us to marriage and to parenthood, again, we'll need that childlike wonder and openness as well as that capacity to trust. And when it's time to retire and let the younger people have at our careers and our communities, our churches, our jobs, we'll need again that 10-year-old trust and that capacity for childlike appreciation and wonder. So those things, that capacity to trust and to grow in wonder and openness for learning, those are the childlike aspects that I believe Jesus wants us to keep as we grow through every stage of life. And, sigh, that is what makes the recent revelations about child abuse and child exploitation, especially in the churches, so painful. And not just the Roman Catholic Church. But when children are looking to us, the adults, for that kind of security, to guard their innocence for as long as they need that, and to have that betrayed. You know, one of the things that we've learned from recent revelations is that, yes, over the recent decade, there is a difference made by having certain practices of child protection and of reporting in place. That those things do make a difference, and they make things better. We have learned that the rate of child abuse and exploitation in the church, while still too high, is lower than in the general population at large. So let's keep our policies and practices before us, up to date and in practice. But those parts of the revelations are cold comfort, especially when you think also about the hush money, the cover-ups, and the secrecy agreements. Really, we cannot tolerate anything in this matter except a zero-tolerance policy. And that goes as much for the hushing up and the secrecy as it does for the child abuse or exploitation. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ should be known for humility and transparency and not for secrecy and the protection of our image. Because Jesus only has a zero-tolerance policy toward any kind of exploitation or abuse of children. If Jesus was indignant about his disciples keeping children away from his blessing, then what do you think he is toward any abuse or exploitation or carelessness in children's safety, especially in the church that bears his name? It would be better, Jesus said, for someone to have a large millstone tied around their necks to be drowned in the sea if they were to offend one of these little ones and keep them from faith. And Jesus knew that there would be wolves who would enter his flock in sheep's clothing to do just that kind of thing. And he knows what's in the hearts of humans and knows that it would be easy for some to confuse the wonderful intimacy of spirit and mind that we have in worship and prayer with some terrible parody of physical intimacy, especially towards the most vulnerable and the innocent. Yes, it's worse in the world, and fortunately the Me Too movement and other recent revelations, like in this week's testimony, have blown the lid on all kinds of abuse. But the Apostle Peter tells us that judgment begins in the household of God. And so the church's house cleaning has only started. There's probably going to be more to come, and not only around sexual abuse and exploitation, but also because of the church's attachment to privilege and prosperity and property and security. But think of this moral and spiritual house cleaning taking place now as a spring cleaning to make things fresh and new again, until all that's left among us are safety, transparency, humility, security, and yes, even innocence for the most needy and vulnerable, including the children among us, but also the child within each of us. And that would make us a safe community in which we can continue growing in childlike trust and childlike wonder and awe and delight through every single stage of our lives. Being childlike, then, as Jesus wants us to be, again, involves trust and receiving God, receiving God's kingdom, receiving God's gifts. But being childlike also means openness, especially openness to wonder and delight and transformation. And no matter how much our bodies have aged, no matter what the calendar says about our age, I hope that all of our spirits are ever like our 10-year-old self, snuggling up to our heavenly parent in trust for security and comfort, because we will need that kind of trust every day of our lives until the day when we shall know as we are known, when we will be most like Christ, for we shall see him as he is. And then all of our eternity will be a timeless and continuous awe and wonder and delight, like being 10-year-olds forever. Amen.
As our hymn of response in the Blue Book, number 616. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. 616.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God His own doth tend and nourish, in His holy courts they perish. From all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh. Is a loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Well, you have heard from me and the worship leader. Now it's the time to hear from each other as well about any testimonies, responses, cares, or joys that you would like to bring to our attention. I'll start by one of my joys this Sunday morning is having Becky's folks here, Jim and Ginny Jackson, visiting us from Arizona. Welcome to you. I'm glad to have you with us. Some of you have met them before. I hope you get a chance to meet them after the service. What else would we like to bring to each other's attention for share and prayer this morning? Yes, Karen.
Thank you for your message this morning. Stacy and I have the privilege of being in the children's department each Sunday, and to see that our teachers just engage with them. And we peeked into one room this morning, and they were had their own little corners that they were laying. I don't know what they were doing, but these little boys were all laying all over the floor. And in another room, they were sitting around a table and so busy, and it's just a joy to see our children and their teachers. And it's interesting that you mentioned safeguards for safety guidelines for children, because next week we have a paper that for each teacher just to be aware of the safeguards for themselves and for their children that they are to sign and date. So we are on top of that.
Thank you, Karen. And I do very much appreciate how our Christian Education Commission and its leaders and our teachers are always on top of that program, that the protection of our children.
Harold.
Many years ago, when my daughter was a little girl, she used to say to me at bedtime, she slept upstairs, and she would say to me, "Dad, my legs hurt. Will you carry me?" And many years after that, she said to me, "Dad, my legs didn't really hurt. I just wanted you to carry me." So I take a lesson from that, in that when our legs hurt, as many in our congregation are doing right now, when our legs hurt, and maybe other parts of our life hurt, Jesus will always be there to carry us.
Thank you. Anything else we'd want to share? Well, please join me in prayer again, and prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer together. What great love you have showered upon us, Lord, that we should be called your children. Now are we your children. As we welcome and receive you, your kingdom, all your grace and your gifts, as do children. And as you indeed carry us through all the hurts of this life. There is more yet to come until the day when we shall be like you, as we see you in your fullness. And may the hope and promise of such glory and wonder purify us of everything that competes with you for our love, our loyalty, our trust, our delight, and our longing. And sustain and renew, Lord, our childlike trust, wonder, and joy in you, as you have through gifts and goodness that we have received this week. Again, such as seeing the children here, and the Sunday school teachers and sponsors and others who attend to them so faithfully, Lord. And all the other ways that you have carried us this week, when our legs and other parts of us, our hearts, also hurt. Let not our childlike trust, wonder, and joy become dull or jaded by the burdens and the cares that we carry, dear Lord. And help us to lay them at your feet, and let you carry us too. Lord, for our friends in the Gideon's Bible Society and their ministry, we pray that you would make fruitful there every contact and every contribution to them, that you would bless and sustain and encourage every volunteer and leader. Add to their faithfulness, servants, and resources and connections, so that your kingdom can continue to grow in every tribe, tongue, and nation. And for other partners in ministry, we pray, Lord, such as the Canby Center, Bridging Cultures, Hope Village, Habitat for Humanity, for Mennonite Disaster Service, for the Oregon chapter of that, and all the opportunities to serve coming to us, Lord, we pray that we would be worthy and ready. Thank you for the work, the giving that are already preparing tools and trailer and workers and opportunities. And for our other pastor, Jana, and her husband, Craig, out on vacation, may their time away be blessed with health, safety, joy, wonder, and refreshment through their exploration of your wonderful world. And for all of us, Lord, let our childlike trust, wonder, and joy stay and grow until you come, Lord, as the very answer to the prayers that you taught us to pray in your very own words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sing the Journey. It's a green book in front of you, if you can find it in your bookshelf there. Number 13. One of the things I like about this song is the wonderful accompaniment that goes with it. So Karen's going to take us through. Please stand, and let's remain standing for the benediction.
Go in childlike faith, following the Lord Jesus. God be with you.